We're going to talk about the importance of little things. Appreciate the presence of everyone here. Our scripture reading comes, if you're over in Luke chapter 16, if you would turn over there. It comes towards the end of Jesus' parable of the unjust steward. Actually, there is also this idea of a dishonest manager. That's my heading in a particular section as well. But this man in the parable was not handling his master's estate well. And so the accusation is made that he's wasting his master's goods. And this comes to the attention of his master. And so when he called him to him to give an account of this, what he had been informed of, he says, "You're no longer going to be the steward of my house," in verse 2 of the parable. So he realizes that he's in a bad situation because he's basically, we would say, he's lost his income. And so what he does in a very shrewd manner is he quickly goes to those that owes his master money and he says, "Well, how much do you owe?" And he basically starts cutting what they owe and say, "Well, this debt will be taken care of if you'll, instead of 100, if you will just do 80. And so what he's thinking is that now when I have to leave, people are going to take care of me. And Jesus actually recognized that. But the climax comes there in verse 13, where he says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or either he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." But our scripture reading in verse 10 highlights the reality of the importance of a person's character. Because he says again there in verse 10 that he who is faithful in the least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So if you're faithful in little, he says you're going to be faithful in important things. If you're unjust or unrighteous in little matters, you're going to be unjust in more important matters, in much. And so that's what we want to focus our lesson on and our attention on this morning, is the importance of little things. And so as we think about this together and we think about what Jesus has said, the first thing that I want to say as far as to get us thinking is that the attention that we give to the little things is something that's going to show the depth of our character. So let's talk about that for just a moment. A Christian, which, you know, we're here to learn and to grow as Christians, who are serious about their faithfulness, is going to be conscientious about things that are of small things. That will be important too. And because they are willing to consider and think about and reflect on the small things, it's going to also be a reflection upon the depth of their own character. And so you think about showing up on time. That may seem like a little thing, but that's an important thing. When my children were small, Lisa and I would have to remind them of their responsibilities. Especially with the boys, early on, as I taught them how to mow and we did all kinds of stuff, as they got older, now it was them. They needed to be responsible and realize that, yeah, the neighbor's counting on you mowing their yard. And we had to remind them of their responsibilities as a parent. Say, "Hey, you need to go over there and mow the neighbor's yard." But as you grow up, what that means is those small things matter and they become important. And as you grow up, you don't have to be reminded of those things because, see, again, you learn to take those little steps and it leads to where you have more responsibility and you're going to succeed because you've been, the small things, the little things have been important to you. A few passages come to mind. And I don't have the passages up there, so take out your Bibles. Let's flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. That's to my advantage, by the way, because I've learned when I put those up there, and I didn't do that for this reason, but you're there waiting on me, and then I fumble around sometimes because I'm talking and hadn't got there, and then you have the proverbial pause as Stacy has to get to where you already are. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, he says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." So again, do your very best in all things, the little things. But Jesus' point in this parable is that the little things are important because that's going to develop your character. Doing the small things and doing them consistently. I also think of Colossians chapter 3. Flip over to Colossians chapter 3. So as Paul is writing to the church there, he says to them in verse 22, Colossians 3 and verse, let me get in the right place. Colossians 3 and verse 22, he says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." So you think about, again, your responsibilities to your employer and doing that to the best of your ability, doing that, as he says, heartily. I always think, when I think about this passage, I think this idea of whistle while you work. I mean, that seems to come to my mind because there's a joy about being blessed. Dale, around the table, he talked about the realities of God has blessed us. We have occupations, we have ways to get gain, and we use those blessings to serve God, to give back to God. And when we have that perspective, then in the small things that we do, the little things, the things that would seem rather obscure and minute, those are important to us. They're important to us. The smallest of tasks, whatever you do, do you see that? Whatever you do, not just the big things, where everybody's going to take notice. You're supposed to do all these things, the smallest of tasks, with the right attitude. And what you're doing is, and what we're doing as a Christian, is we're building our character in the small things. We're building our trustworthiness, because as the passage is teaching us, that if we can handle the little things well and do those faithfully, then we can be entrusted with the more weightier things, the more important things. So, what about being kind and courteous? Is that just when people are watching? Is that just in the presence of other Christians? I mean, do you have those moments where you're like, you do things and say things, you go, "Boy, I hope none of the members of the church are here," because we're not conducting ourselves in a consistent manner? No, we should learn to be kind and consistent, whether we're in the presence of fellow saints or not, because as we've pointed out 2 weeks ago, God's always watching. And so what we're talking about is our daily interactions that we have with people. And that reveals who we are. And of course, we're supposed to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be representing Him. We go out, we talk about how that we are to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt. And so my character is going to be a reflection of those things. And that's even in the little things. Little things like saying hello. I mean, think about just one of the most basic things of saying hello. But then actually not just thinking about yourself, but asking, and I mean not in, with sincerity, "Well, how are you doing?" Things that just in the little matters. Just the day-to-day interactions. Many of the small things are done out of the sight of others. But God's watching those small things. He's concerned about those small things. And I want to say at the start of the lesson that I've heard Sister Marilyn say many times that Brother Grant used to say, "Don't sweat the small things because they're all small things," or "the big things because they're all small things." And that kept running through my head. And this is actually looking at this, there's a great importance of the small things. There's great importance in the small things. And so the second point is that there is faithfulness in the little things that leads to faithfulness in the more important things. Let's do a little exercise. Let's say you leave the grocery store. You get out to the car, you're putting your groceries away, and there's that pack of gum that you overlooked and didn't pay for. What do you do? What do you do? Well, you've already made it to the car. You're not anywhere close to the store. There was a long line for you to check out to begin with, so your brain starts going, you know, Walmart's a billion-dollar company. I give them so much money anyway. They won't miss it. Nobody cares. What would you do? What would you do? Well, I know your answer is, well, I'd go back in there and pay for that gum because it's stealing. And that's the right thing. But is that what we do? I sat behind a lady the other day. I ran into Foodland. This has been several weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago. And she had a bag in her cart. And she had an adult son, I think, that was not well. And she had had him go out and get something and come back in. But she's got this bag in her cart. And she just keeps saying, no, that's the Walmart bag. That's a Walmart bag. Like, this is. She had it full of stuff she was stealing. And the cashier is looking at it. I'm looking at it. And she, after she goes out, she looks at me and she says something about the bag. I said, I was wondering the same thing. She says, I can't leave the register. And so sure enough, I got out there and I just kind of watched. And that wasn't just a bag that was picked up out of the cart and thrown in there. It was a bag that the boy had to pick, and he was a big guy, pick it up. And I was like, obviously, she was just freeloading. Foodland will never know. Well, in the little things, you know, in the scheme of things, we think, well, that won't ruin Foodland. That won't ruin Walmart. But what will we do? And I understand that all of us are going, well, I'd do the right thing. I'd go back in and pay for that gum. Do you know how many times when you go back in and do that, the person at the door looks at you like you're crazy? Because they think, what? Who does that? I mean, they've got people walking out with televisions and things like this. And so what have you just done? The little things matter. What have you shown? You have shown true character that is bankrupt and void in our culture. People are taken back by this. And what are you doing? You're letting your light shine. You're letting people see how important things are. It's that time of year that you do your taxes. You got financial obligations. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes my income, when I get paid for a meeting, or I speak on a Wednesday night or something of that nature, there is no paperwork trail for the government, period. They don't know I've made that money. They don't know anything about that. What's my responsibility? What's my obligation? Is the government going to miss it? I mean, could I sit and go, they wasted anyway? Better to be in my pocket, not in theirs, and to pay taxes on it? You see how we can sit and try to roll this around in our mind and just say this is going to be okay. But there is no 1099. That's the form that you get when you're not a quote-unquote employee. The IRS doesn't have any record. Well, if I've been just a little unjust, go back to my gum, and I've already said, it's just gum. What's going to happen when it gets to more weightier matters? Like, are you going to report that income or not? You see what I'm saying? And so we have to think about these things because the little things are important. Doing what is right begins with doing what is right in the little ways. God often proves us in the small tasks. Do you realize, go back to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. So Joseph has been sold by his brothers into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house, as you know. And in verse 6 it says, "And thus he, Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate." So in other words, Joseph was trustworthy with this man's goods to the point where he trusted Joseph so much that he didn't have a clue what he had. Well, his wife casts her eyes upon him. He ends up in prison. And what do we find when he ends up in prison? Look at chapter 39, look at the end of the chapter, verse 22. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. What's he doing? Now, so watch what happens in comparison to being second in Egypt. You know, at the time that Joseph was pretty much ruling over Egypt under Pharaoh, it's the same thing. Look at chapter 41 and verse 40. Pharaoh has his dream. Joseph interprets it. Joseph says, "You have been over my house, shall be over my house." I'm in chapter 41, verse 40. "And all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." Basically, Joseph, you're in charge. Was he faithful in Potiphar's house? Yes. Was he faithful as a prisoner unjustly? Yes. Which led to how important was it for Joseph to be where he was in Egypt? Well, when his brothers come, do you remember what he told them? They were scared to death of him, and he said, "God put me here." He figured it all out. "I'm here to save my family." And it ends up being how they grow to become the nation in Egypt, to be taken out by Moses and led to the promised land. You see, was he faithful in the little things? Yes. Was it proving him? Yes. Because when it came to the greater, Joseph had a habit. He was a consistent, constant person of character. And I have yet to know where we read in scriptures of what Joseph did at any time that was wrong. The only place that I can think where he was being a cantankerous little brother is when he kind of played his trick on him. But I'm not even smart enough to know if that was something that I just don't understand, or was he just doing that? And we would say, well, but I don't know if I'd even call that sin. But again, that's his consistent character. And you know, the same is said of David. David, how did he begin? A shepherd of a flock of sheep. And where did he end up? Shepherding God's own people as the king of Israel. Did he prove himself as a shepherd in the field? He did. It drew him close to God. That's why he can pen so many psalms where he talks about, you know, looking into the heavens and seeing and wondering and contemplating. And so God used him because of his character. Look at Luke chapter 19. There's a parable that is not as familiar to us as the parable of the talents. This one is the parable of the minas, and the minas is a weight of wealth. And so we have this parable that begins in verse 11. "Now as they heard these things, he, Jesus, spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina was earned, has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. The second came, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared, because you were an austere man, your collection, you collect what you did not deposit, you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that everyone who has been given, from him also who does not have, even what he has been taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. So in this parable, you see that each servant had received the same thing. Not like the talents, according to abilities. They each had received a mina, a specific weight. And upon their return, the first one, he's now got 10, he's going to get 10 cities. The next one, 5, he's going to get 5 cities. And the point is, were they faithful in little things? Yes. Look at what they got. See, the nobleman could trust these men, and that gave them the opportunity to do even more. But if I can't be faithful in the little things, who's going to entrust 10 cities or 5 cities? Which is what happens with the one. He just says, I was scared, I hid it. He says, well, take it away from him and give it to the one that's got the... You see the point? And that's Jesus' point back here when he says in the parable of the unjust steward, he says, if you've been unfaithful in little, you're not going to be faithful in much. But if you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the more important things. And so we're being proved, we're being shown, we're being tested by God, the things that we should do. We need to put these things into practice. A few Wednesday nights ago, I talked about evil speaking, and I said, guess what? A week later, I said, well, let's talk about what we talked about, and are we hearing and doing? See, we hear, and do we do the little things? Because, again, we're building character. Because the faithfulness in the little things is going to lead to faithfulness in the more important things. So we have to pay attention and be careful. And how important, understand how important the small things are, the little task that prepares for the greater task. And then number 3, let's talk about specifically some areas of faithfulness. To where, again, let's talk about commitment. Let's talk about commitment. There are tasks that we commit ourselves to. I make a commitment. And when a Christian commits to something, what does that mean? That means that they're going to follow through on their promise and fulfill their commitment. That's what that means. It's true if you're in an employee-employer relationship. The boss says, look, you need to do this. Can you get this done? And you make that commitment. I'm going to get that done. And we hold ourselves accountable and we work through it and we get it done. Well, the Christian is called to faithfulness, and they commit themselves to something of importance. And if a person doesn't finish the small job, what's the likelihood that they will be able to finish and will finish a big job? Do you understand what we're talking about? Yeah, so the little things matter. Why would your employer, you committed, you didn't come through, that's a consistency on your part. Is he really going to say, okay, this is so important to the company. I mean, we're going to sink or swim here. Let's get Joe. And everybody's like, Joe? He hasn't completed anything yet. You can't count on him. We don't do that. And nor should God expect us to behave that way when it comes to the kingdom of God. So, think about the reality. Let me say, attendance is not the only measuring stick of how a Christian is doing. Don't get that in your head. But it is a most visible thing. Attendance of the worship service is an indicator of one's commitment to the Lord and one's commitment to a congregation, period. It is. You can't go out here and say, I'm going to join a bowling league, And the bowling league is going to bowl on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And you say, I'm going to join, but I can only come on Tuesday. Just scratch me out the rest of the time. That the people who are counting on say, I'm sorry, you'll have to find somebody else that'll let you do that. Because you need to bowl in the league, and we're counting on you. But when it and work, oh yeah, we're committed to work. But what about our commitment to the Lord? If I'm not faithful in the small things, how can I be faithful in the larger things? And so commitment is a very important part of my commitment of the little things, the small things, and how faithful I'll be in the most important things. What about honesty? You know, telling the truth when it's easier to tell a lie, that reveals character, doesn't it? Telling the truth when it's easier to tell a lie. Being honest at all times is an important quality of a Christian. In the little things. Think about, we call them little white lies. And a little white lie is basically what we're saying is, that will not get caught. Nobody will be able to figure out that I've told a lie. But that does not build honesty when it is needed most. In a family, when we told our kids and they began to grow up and learn, we needed them to be truthful. Because when it really mattered, you needed them to be telling you the truth. And the only way you can get there is you hold them accountable in the little things. Don't you lie to me. I can't tell you how many times I told the kids this. I would say, listen, you tell me the truth, and you may not be punished. I just need to know. But you tell me a lie right now, and you know you're going to get punished. Now the kid says, well, I don't get punished, but I'm going to lie. That's the kids. Listen, this leads to when it matters most, you need to be able to look them in the eyes and know, because they've been building and learning to tell the truth in the little things. So when it matters, they will tell you the truth, and you can deal with things in the appropriate way. Proverbs 12 and verse 22, lying lips are an abomination of the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. So says the Lord. Not me, that's what the Lord says. How about your integrity? That means being upright at all times. You know, what about being faithful in my integrity? What that means is you don't change your conduct depending on the situation. You're the same godly person no matter what the situation. When no one is looking, you're going to do the right thing. You're going to be the same person practicing godliness when it's only the Lord who's watching. And that's what we always need to remember. You don't behave one way at work and another way at home, yet another way in the assembly. That's a chameleon. That's not being a person of integrity and uprightness. Job, one of the things when his friends were casting all these things, he with all solidness says he's going to stand on his integrity. Bring the people forth where I haven't been doing what is right. And that's what God told to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? He's an integral man. When it's evil, he shuns it. When it's good, he's going to do it. Take a hard look at him, Satan. He's consistent. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Well, that's the thing that always happens is seems like those lies seem to come to the surface and those ill behaviors seem to come to the surface. What about being serious? Your commitment, your honesty, your upright heart is going to just demonstrate how serious you are, how genuine a person you are. When someone has proven themselves to be untrustworthy in small matters, again, who's going to take them serious when it comes to more important things? And so the Christian is going to be sober-minded in all aspects of their life. They're going to think very soberly about this. The word little in our text has in mind the small things that are nearly insignificant. Things that people really won't even notice, perhaps, but those little things matter nonetheless. You know why? Because God told us they matter to Him. That's what Jesus was teaching in the parable. The little things matter to God. So we have to view these things. It's our tendency to wish for bigger opportunities when we have yet to prove ourselves in the little things, the little opportunities that we have. So there might be a wall that we hit. And that thought's very humbling. So we need to be serious about the little things. And so there you have some things to think about when it comes to the importance of little things. Again, in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus said, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." And so that becomes a choice for me. Who am I going to be? How serious, how important is this going to be to me? I hope that helps. This is one of those lessons. I believe that tomorrow we could be confronted with something like we talked about today. And we're going to have to prove ourselves. So make up your mind. Let's all make up our mind to do the right thing, no matter how big or small it is. We're building character. We're becoming more and more like our Savior. We're conforming to His image and not the image of the world. And we do that in the smallest of ways. You might be here this morning and you're not a Christian. We're going to sing an invitation song that encourages you that if you've not yet put on Christ, to do so. What separates you from God is sin. And the wages of that is death, spiritual death, eternally cast out from the presence of God into outer darkness in flaming fire, and Jesus is going to return and take vengeance on those that have not obeyed His gospel. So it's a wonderful opportunity that if you need to come forward and confess your belief in Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins, we stand ready to help you do that. Things are ready, and we appreciate that things are ready to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not being consistent. Maybe the little things haven't been important. Maybe you need prayers of encouragement. Maybe you need to confess sin. Whatever the need may be, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.